Well, thank you so much, Jess. Hi, everyone. I'm Ali, a very grateful alcoholic. That's a big crowd. I was like praying that we would have more and more newcomers celebrating day counts. Well done. We had somewhere between 2 days and 22 years. So, this really works. As I said, my name is Alia, and I'm a very grateful alcoholic. My sobriety date is December 12th, 2021. This is my home group, Newcomers International. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, and I sponsor other women in recovery. So, I picked up this topic because it's so much related to my journey in sobriety for the past 4 years. And the way I want to look at it is by the grace of God, I had the full understanding of half measures in that journey. So let me take you, brush over, some qualifications there. So I was born to two young parents in the Middle East. And for people who don't know the Middle Eastern culture, it's more or less a lot of religion and a lot of culture and a lot of social norms. So our society is built of a lot on a lot of judgments and a lot of shaming and belittling in a way or another. I was born in 1974. My parents were fairly young. Mom was 15. My father was 21, and that was totally normal at that period of time. My father came back home in a vacation. He was studying in the United States, and he came back to my hometown in Saudi Arabia, and in less than 1 month, he was married to my mom. So he met his wife of today, more than 54 years. They're married, and got married to her in less than 1 month. And they traveled back to the United States. And of course, my mom comes from a different social status than my father. So she was very anxious as a young child, I mean, 15 years old, and she was trying to fit in to the best of her ability. She got me when she was 17. I was the firstborn of six kids. And of course, because of that, I would say trying to fit in with all the anxiety that my mom has and all the fear of being judged and not being good enough. Of course, I was the byproduct of all this anxiety. So she was a very abusive mother, in a sense of physically, emotionally, and mentally. I had my first sister and my second sister, sorry, when I was 2 years old. And since that age, I learned, believe it or not, to be responsible. So I played the hero from that day onwards. I was molested when I was four, and by my own nanny. And of course, because of that shaming and belittling, and all the, I would say, fear and lack of trust towards my own mom, I couldn't speak about it. So I bottled all this shame and guilt, of these emotions within me, and I tried always to cope, to cope with life, to be honest, because when the big book speaks about driven by 100 forms of fear, that was me. I was not only fearful for my own safety, I was fearful for my other siblings from being punished or being hurt or belittled by mom. I was always fearful of being of showing up not good enough. You can just name it. I started to cope with life through a lot of other processed addictions. So I picked up smoking, overeating, excessive eating at the age of seven. I started smoking when I was like 13. And then I started being, very codependent in my relationships at the age of 18. And then I started being a workaholic at the age of 22. And until that age, alcohol was not part of my story. And then going into the banking industry and working in retail business and climbing the ladder of work very fast. put me under a lot of pressure because I was a perfectionist. I wanted to be perfect. I wanted to people please. I wanted my mom and dad to recognize me. I wanted to fit in, never to belong. And I used all these processes in life as a coping mechanism. And I thought that this is the normal way of living. I didn't know better, right? And when I reflect back on it, I was in that self-imposed crisis all the time. I used my character defects as coping mechanism to get away with, from consequences of my own decisions in life. So I was like, my default setting was, self-seeking junkie, trying to please everyone around me, lying, manipulating, cheating, gaslighting, name it. I also, half measured any type of responsibility in life. So, for example, if I wanted to attend college for, college, I didn't want to attend the classes, but I wanted to have an A. I don't know if you can identify with that. I'm a person who wanted to show up to work at 10 o'clock in the morning, where I'm supposed to be at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I wanted to be the first, area manager or district manager. So that's me. So this is why I developed, and I was very successful in life. I tried to cope with it. Remember the process addictions that I shared about? It helped me a lot. And of course, I was a victim in the back of my mind, being so unfortunate of that, dysfunctional upbringing and all that shaming and belittling. So I was a victim all my life. Crying, for everyone just to save me and help me and love me. And then when I was 35 years old, I picked up alcohol. For me, it was not a fun journey. It was a very progressive, compulsive way of drinking. I drank to numb my emotions, to be able to sleep, and to black out. So I was a blackout drunk for 12 years. My drinking started like all these four different stages of drinking. Started from an occasional drinker to a moderate drinker to a heavy drinker to an alcoholic in less than 5 years. My consumption increased significantly. And by the way, my country is a dry country. So that shows you, in a way or another, how defiant I am. To find a solution to numb my own pain. And then I came to AA, and my sobriety date, as I mentioned, December 12th, based on my psychiatrist's recommendation. And I immediately jumped in to the program because I reached to a point where I was not able to live anymore. I couldn't function in life, I wasn't happy. And when I recall page 52 in our big book, when it describes the bedevilments that I went through as a person, and I read it in a first person, I was having trouble with personal relationships. I could not control my emotional natures. I was prey to misery and depression. I could not make a living. I had a feeling of uselessness. I was full of fear. I was unhappy. I could not seem to be of real help to other people. So I was. Basically, this is what brought me to AA. And I started this treatment program. I immediately jumped in, full fierce, and I was sober since then. And of course, I picked up a sponsor. I read the big book with that sponsor and worked steps. And I started sponsoring when I was 6 months sober. And I wasn't happy. I was still unhappy. There was something missing. My relationship with God came early on. I believe in God, a higher power of my own understanding. However, that relationship evolved through time. So, how did I, manage to stay sober during those first 2 years? It was by a grace of that loving higher power and by two-stepping the program, i.e., when I look at it. Step number one says we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. So when I'm thinking about it today, I admitted that I was powerless, But my life was sort of unmanageable because I didn't have a lot of the yets. And this is in all honesty. So I'm going to take you. And the second step that I was working during those first 2 years was step 12. And this is by being excessively involved in service. So the remaining steps, yes, I went through them. But did I admit deep inside my heart that this is the way of life going forward? No, I did not. I was trying to white knuckle it because you know what? I'm a smart alcoholic who can achieve anything. So I thought that this self-will is going to serve me. So let me take you through the half measures of each and every step that I went through throughout this journey. So as I said, step number one, the first half made sense to me. The second half didn't so much, and this is because of the yets. And then step number two says, in the big book, let me go through it. Okay, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I believed in God, but I didn't trust that God yet because that God wasn't the God of my own understanding. It was a religious God, theological God, a punishing God, a condemning God. And this is why I could not fully trust that higher power. Step number three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of that God of my own understanding. So, because I didn't trust that God fully, I was still running on self-will, thinking that prayer is more than enough. You know what? I can pray to that God and I can ask and ask for his help whenever I'm in trouble. But, and I'm not doing, you know, a lot of like, I'm not drinking, I'm not harming others the way I used to be. But also, because I had this problem of step two foundation, I could not fully surrender. And that's the big difference between first time around going through the steps and the second. And then made step number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So step number four for me at half measuring, made a search, but was still justifying and playing the victim. Deep inside my heart, I was like, yeah, but they did that. Like, how can I forgive that nanny or forgive mom? And this is what kept me irritable and discontented and angry most of the time. So I did not fully surrender again as a result of not taking step two, three, and four accurately. Step number five for me. Of course, it says, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. So I admitted to my sponsor to please her. I admitted to myself that I was a bad person, not that bad, you know. But, you know, I had my own issues and I can start working on it because I'm a very strong-willed woman and I can do it. I can still do it. I mean, I'm sober 18 months. What are you talking about? So I still can fix me. And then I came to understand that self cannot fix self. So step number five for me was again half measuring. I can pick and choose, cherry pick whatever works for Alia and whatever doesn't. And as a result, step number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Was I entirely ready? Of course not. I was entirely ready to give all these big character defects like lying, cheating, manipulating, you know, all these big character defects that destroyed my life. But not when it comes so much when it comes to judging you or gossiping or maybe just, you know, condemning you in the back of my head and having this chit chat. Not yet. No. And I was there taking the inventory of each and every one of you in those meetings, right? And then humbly asked him to remove my shortcoming. Ask who? The God that I don't trust? Well, I can fix me still, remember? I mean, I did not fully surrender. So therefore, I was trying to manage my behavior, the way I'm acting in meetings, acting with others, acting with people around me. And that was not sufficient. What step six is basically all about, being ready to let go and let God, being ready to welcome change. Being ready to surrender that I'm not a bad person, but I have characteristics that I've used for so long to be changed by that higher power. And then step number seven is humbly asking God, because I don't have any power over these character defects. I mean, my anger, it pops up out of nowhere. You can rub me the wrong way, and I'm going to start taking your inventory. That's who I am. As a result of all these traumas and things that happened throughout my upbringing, I'm not saying that it didn't happen, it did. But as a result, I clinged to all these coping mechanisms and thought that I can fix me. And that's half measuring the program, right? Made a list of all, step number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Of course, I wasn't willing. Like, for example, my ex-husband, I didn't want to make amends to him. Some of the friends that harmed me, because remember, I'm a victim, I didn't want to do anything to do with them. I fixed the things that I needed to fix because I needed to have a relationship with my mom, for example. I needed to make a really to have a relationship with my father, with my siblings, with my close friends, but not everyone. Step number nine, made direct amends, and that goes with step number eight. And of course, step number 10 for me was basically a very nice read with beautiful promises that wishful thinking did not guarantee me until that point. Because step 10 is basically a daily step where it recommends continue, 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 continue four times in one paragraph. And this is basically to watch for my emotions in life. Step number 11, and for me, it's sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understood God. Well, I was seeking God. But again, I did not trust God, and that's step two, right? And then, of course, step number 12 is basically being of service to others. And even that step was white knuckled and half measured. Why? Because I was self-seeking throughout the way. I was trying to act in a way that I'm a person who knows it all, and I can support you, and I can do this, that, and the other, and I can be the perfect reflection of AA. But deep inside, was it selfless? No. There was always self-seeking behind it. So when I look at it by God's grace, and I'm gonna try to show you what the 12 steps today in my life, after working the steps for the second time, after 2 years with my second sponsor, and that wasn't like
2 minutes, beautiful Alia.
thank you so much, Rob, acknowledged. So working the 12 steps again with my second sponsor after I fully surrendered because I knew for a fact that I'm going to relapse sooner or later because this is not the life I wanted to continue. And when I look at it today, do I admit that life has become unmanageable 100%? When I reflect back on it with all honesty, I brought my life to the ground. And with God's grace, I managed to keep the yets by a miracle, I did not start working the yets. But I know for a fact that if I leave today, the yets are coming. Step number two was a turning point for me, you all. Because remember that reflection of the theological God, the God of my own understanding, that punishing God does not exist in my life today. That God that I have today in my life is a loving God who believes in me and supports me 100%. And love me even when I can't love myself. That God is a forgiving God. That God is fun, is an amazing God. And I lean towards this God every single day in my recovery. And this is why step number three today, it's easier for me to hand over things to God. And when I do four, five, six, seven, eight, and nine, I do it wholeheartedly because I surrendered. I surrendered. I'm not fighting anymore. And how am I looking at my recovery journey today, working the program? I'm always, every single day, in step 10, 11, and 12. And of course, step number one goes without even thinking. Well, I love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service. I hope someone got something out of this year. Love you all.